Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
My name is Matt. If I haven't met you before, I'm the youth pastor here at our Myrie campus. And I would love to start this morning by extending what Pastor Rick was sharing and share some testimonies out of our youth ministry here. Is that okay if we go for that today? You know, we have seen God be just doing some incredible things in our young people. Seriously, I've been a youth pastor for, I don't know, like 5 years I think it's been. And I've just never seen God moving like He is right now. And you know, I just want to share some of the things that happened. So not last Friday, but the Friday before, we had a prayer for healing moment. And we had a young person come to youth for the first time. They'd never been to church, they'd never been to youth, it was their first time there. And they had a shoulder injury that had been going on for 3 months. And they received prayer that night. And when their connect leader followed them up that Monday to say, hey, how are you going? How was your experience of youth? They responded by saying they got healed and the pain's been totally gone since then. Can we give God some praise for that? Seriously, He is amazing. He is amazing. You know, another testimony, this is just on last Friday. One of our youth leaders had like a migraine headache type of thing. She actually thought she'd been concussed because she got hit in the face with a crowbar, which is crazy, right? And so, you know, this whole pastoral conversation, we need to challenge her to leave her life of crime behind her. And, you know, we're all on a journey of following Jesus, you know, so God will use you while He changes you. And that's the leaders that your young people are with. Anyway, what happened? Someone turned around, they're holding a crowbar to chop and it hit her. And she had a splitting headache and she was gonna go home and she was really struggling. But in worship, we were just praying and she said she felt like the pain of her migraine and her headache totally dissipate and she was instantly healed in that moment. She testified at the end of the night that she's still totally fine. Come on, can we give God a shout of praise for what He is doing in our midst? He's amazing, you know. Want to share? Is it okay if I share just one last one? Is that okay? You know, the Friday before, we had a young volunteer who's just recently on the journey of following Jesus, recently saved. And I was ministering, and before, at the start of the sermon, I just felt in my heart to pray for someone. I felt like there was a girl in the room that had pain in her right knee, and I just felt like God was healing it right then and there. So I prayed for that. But by the way, I'm not sharing this so that you look at me and think anything significant of me. Can I tell you this? I am like, I feel like Paul, I'm the least of these, you know what I mean? Like I'm literally flesh and blood and I'm trying to follow Jesus as best I can. And I actually believe that spiritual gifts, when we see them in operation in other people's lives, that's never designed to exclude you, it's designed to include you. That I don't know if you've ever been to a restaurant and you're looking at the menu like what to get. And you look at everyone else's meals around the place and you see the T-bone steak over in the corner and you're like, ma'am, I'm going to get what he's having. You know, that's what spiritual gifts are meant to do inside of the lives of believers. That when you see a healing, when you see a word of knowledge, when you see a breakthrough, it's not designed to go, man, they're so great, how come I'm not like that? No, it's designed to awaken a hunger and an appetite inside of you to say, God, if you're doing it there, would you do it here too? It's designed so that you would believe that God would do it for someone else, He would also do it for you too. And so anyway, I had this where we prayed for it, and after I just asked them, like, hey, who is that girl? Are they in this room? And this lady, literally over this area here, put up her hand, and she came forward and testified that she hurt her knee in the previous weeks by falling on it. It's been painful ever since, but in that prayer, God instantly healed her in that moment. We've just been seeing God do miracle after miracle after miracle, and I want to challenge you, it does not stop there. No, if God is doing it in our young people, He's doing it in your lives too. I believe that we're in a season of revival and God is doing something special in this next generation. But I want to challenge you, this next generation includes you. If you're alive today, you're part of this generation. You know, God didn't say, I'll pour my spirit out upon the young people. He said, I'll pour my spirit out upon all flesh. And so if you've got skin and bone today, if you've got flesh on your body, you are fully qualified today for an encounter with God, for a move of God's spirit that if God will do it for someone else, He will do it for you too. So I want to challenge you, whatever you're facing today, whatever you're believing for, believe God for a breakthrough. Believe God for miraculous. Believe God for more because He is on the move. And I believe we're going to see God manifest that today. Is that okay? You know, I'm really excited to speak and to share the word of God. And so if you have your Bible, would you go with me to the book of Genesis chapter 6? And it says this in verse number 9. This, everyone say this. Say it like you mean, say this. Say it like a Kiwi, thus. Thus is the account of Noah and his family. I used to live in New Zealand. I have a passport, so I'm allowed to mock them. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man. Everyone say righteous. At the back, say righteous. Was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become. All the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. Verse number 14, so make yourselves an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. The title of my message this morning, I believe my assignment from heaven for you today is to bring a revelation around the topic and the subject that's simply this, it's all paid for. Would you join me with praying? Would you close your eyes? Put your hand on your heart if you're comfortable. Father, give us an understanding that it's all been paid for at the cross. Give us a revelation that passes our understanding and give us an encounter to prove it to be real in our lives as well. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Everyone said? Everybody said? Let's just give God one last clap of praise. Amen. Amen. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Worship team, you guys are good to go. You know, I've got a question for you today, and it's a very simple question. It's simply this. Have you ever paid for something and didn't get what you paid for? Show of hands right now. Have you ever paid for something and it wasn't what you were wanting or expecting? You know, I don't know if you've ever been there before. You know, for myself, guilty as charged, but you're going through the McDonald's drive-thru and you're ordering your double quarter pounder and you're like, God, I thank you for this large meal. It's going to be amazing. You cruise out of there. You get home to open the bag only to discover the flipping Happy Meal. What? I'm not happy with that. Now, maybe it's God's intervention for me to lose weight in preparation for my wedding. I don't know. Or maybe, which I like to agree, it was the devil charming to steal, kill, and destroy for my life. You know, maybe you've had it before where you've ordered a coffee. And any coffee addicts out there? Who loves coffee? Just raise, put both hands. You bunch of addicts. I'm with you. I'm there too. So I'll be responding to this altar right after this. God, deliver me of that. And would I still enjoy them? Anyway, have you ever had it before and you order, you know, your Long Mac topped up? And then out comes not a Long Mac topped up. Out comes a skinny latte. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm about to rebuke this right now. Or even worse, out comes a skinny latte with soy milk. Shitara baba. Lord, we just, there's some principalities at work in our world, amen? You know, one of the funniest ones I think I've ever seen is we have a gentleman who's on staff here whose name is Dan. Does anyone know Dan? We love Dan. And Dan and his son are really big basketball fans and they love Michael Jordan, you know, watch The Last Dance and all that. And there was this figurine that they wanted to purchase for their son. And so he went on eBay, he found the figurine of Michael Jordan, you know, the 23 on the vest in red, it was beautiful. And the image that eBay showed or wherever they got it from showed was this. Can we put up the first image of Michael Jordan? So this is the figurine here. Has anyone seen Michael Jordan before? Yeah, awesome. So this looks like him. Amazing. He's got the Jordans on. The face is similar. Now, the figurine was delivered. And can I tell you, it was not what he paid for. Can we put up the next photo on the screen? Now, I don't know if you can see from where you are. Can we go to the next photo yet again? I don't know what two right-handed men designed this figurine. Maybe where they live, everyone's eyes look like that, so they think that's normal. I'm not too sure what happened, but I know one thing for sure. That's not what he paid for. And I think when we experience this in our lives, when we experience a gap between what we pay for and what we experience, a righteous indignation rises on the inside of us. You know, there's a frustration. It's like, I have rights. Thank you very much. Get the manager. My name is Karen. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm ready to take this person to town. Why? Because I paid for something and this is not what I paid for. You know, for me, I find this to be true in every area of most of our lives, except for when it comes to one area, and that's the cross of Christ. so often we believe that the cross of Jesus Christ paid for our ticket to heaven and that's it. But I want to submit to you today that the cross of Jesus Christ was not just for forgiveness of sins for you to get to heaven. No, I want to tell you today, the cross of Jesus Christ purchased your wholeness. The cross of Jesus purchased your healing. The cross of Jesus purchased your breakthrough. I want to speak to someone online today and tell you the cross of Jesus purchased your financial provision. The cross of Jesus Christ purchased that miracle that you're in need of. Whatever sickness, whatever ailment, whatever issue is going on, it's not another solution. It's Jesus. He is the answer. The cross of Christ is what purchased this for all of us. And so, that being said, why are we reading about Noah? You know, maybe like, okay, what was that scripture about? Well, Jesus said something really interesting in John chapter 5. We can pop that up. I think it's 5 verse 24, 39. Very similar number, but different. Some 39-year-olds wish it was 24, you know what I'm saying? Jesus said this, "You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me." Let me say that one more time. You search the scriptures because you think that the scriptures give you eternal life, but it's actually the scriptures' job not to give you life, but to point to me who is life. According to Jesus, all scripture is about him. Every Bible verse, every story, every passage, the creation account's not a story about creation, it's a story about Jesus. You know, every account we see, the Adam and Eve garden, Jericho with the walls coming down, all scripture, its design, its purpose isn't to give us life through the scripture, though that happens through God's word, but it's to be a signpost that points us to Christ. And so when we read the story of Noah in Genesis chapter 6, I need you guys to work with me on this one. It's not a story about Noah, it's a story about
Jesus.
We're gonna try that one last time. It's not a story about Noah, it's a story about
Jesus.
You're like, how is that a story about Jesus? Well, I read the story and I don't read about Noah and the ark. See, I read about a world that was corrupt and evil and no one was good. Sound a little bit similar to how Romans describes our world. That not one is righteous. No, not single one. All have fallen short. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But it does talk about a righteous man. And it talks about this righteous man's obedience to God to do something that was abstract and different. And more than that, it talks about how people were saved. That people actually went into the ark like Noah's family and they were delivered and saved, not because of their obedience, but because of their relationship with the one who did obey. Sound like a story you and I know? That he who knew no sin became sin so that in him we could become the righteousness of God. See, salvation is not about your good works or how you can get close to God. No, no. Salvation is about what Jesus did to obey you to get close to you. And all we do is believe in him, come into relationship with him. And we experience salvation not because of our efforts or our works, but because of our relationship with the one who did it all. More than that, it's not just the family of Noah that was saved through the ark. But that ark was made of what? It was made of cypress wood. Sounds similar to a utensil God used for you and I, for the Son of Man to be hung not to a cross made of metal, but a cross made of wood also. That just like the ark brought them through the waters from an old earth into a new earth and into a new reality, the cross of Jesus Christ brings you and me, you and I, through the waters of baptism into a new reality of heaven and earth right here on earth. And you know what's interesting, I note about this story, is that this ark took a little while to build. Some commentators believe it took 55 to 75 years, some believe it took 120 years. I'm no mathematician, but I do know this, that's a lot of years. And so whether it took 55, whether it took 120, that's a lot of years going on. And the most interesting part, the reason it took so long wasn't even for Noah and his family to get saved. Who was it for? It's for all the animals. It was for all creation. See, the cross of Jesus didn't just pay for us to get to heaven. It paid to redeem all of creation. Just like in Noah, every animal under the earth was actually in that transaction into salvation. I believe that through the cross of Jesus Christ, every issue in our world, every issue, every diagnosis, every sickness was included in the pre-purchased amount of Jesus Christ. Revelation puts it this way in verse 21, verse 4, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. This is talking about heaven one day, but can I tell you that heaven is only accessible because of the cross of Jesus Christ? And you better believe that pain in your neck is not going to be there in heaven. And so when healing happens, all that is heaven invading earth. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 10, verse number 9, I believe it is. He said that go and heal the sick and, where's the verse? I'm so sorry. Is it on the screen? Oh, it's right there. Heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you now. In other words, healing isn't God doing some extra things. It's a manifestation of his kingdom. Why? Because there's no sickness in heaven. There's no disease. There's no ailments in heaven. So when we experience breakthrough and healings and miracles, all that's happening is what Jesus purchased for us on the cross is manifesting in our reality. And whether it happens right now, tomorrow, in a week, or in eternity, it was still all paid for through Jesus' sacrifice at the cross. It was all included through the sacrifice of Jesus. See, healing is simply a manifestation of the kingdom of God. But the trouble is we run into a problem when we start to believe this, because if it was all paid for in Jesus and his sacrifice, there's an obvious question. Maybe you've had an issue, maybe you've got sickness in your body, maybe you've responded, maybe you've had people pray for you, and maybe you're like some people where you're still struggling. You still have that issue. That diagnosis hasn't shifted. That wayward son of yours is still not following God. You can believe that God paid for it all, but your reality is very different to what you believe. And I believe how we manage this tension is of utmost importance. For some of us, we like to conclude, okay, if Jesus paid for it all and it's not happening, the obvious solution is me. It's my faith that is. Have you ever thought that before? They're like, I didn't get healed. God didn't do this in my time, in my way. Why? Because of my faith. And so we take personal blame for why things aren't happening in our lives. And we blame ourselves for our experience. Or the other option is simply this. Rather than take blame ourselves, we project blame onto God. And we let our experience of life determine our perspective of God. But you know, Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. So if you want to know what God looks like, don't look at your experience, look at Jesus' life, because he is the manifestation of the will of God. And he never turned anyone away. He never didn't heal a disease. He never said, it's not working or I can't do it. No, he manifests what God's will truly was. And so we need to get to a point where our perspective of God is not based on our experience, but based on the word of God. And so, okay, if it's not faith and it's not our understanding of God, if it's not him and it's not me, what is going on? Why do we still struggle in that gap? You know, I believe Hebrews 6 speaks to the heart of the issue. It says in verse number 12, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. If you've got a Bible with you, I want to encourage you, underline that word patience. That according to Hebrews 6, sometimes faith isn't the issue. Sometimes the finished work isn't the issue. Sometimes it's simply our persistence and our patience that is the issue. The scripture then goes on to give the example in verse number 13 of Abraham. Said, when God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, everyone say patiently, Abraham received what was promised. I love that. I will surely bless you and give you many descendants, verse 14, verse 15. So after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. We read it as one verse bang after the other, but between verse 14 and verse 15, there was actually a bit of a time gap there. Did you know that the gap between Abraham's first encounter with God and promise and the fulfillment of it through Isaac wasn't 1 year, wasn't 2 years, wasn't three, it wasn't 10 years, it wasn't 15, it wasn't 20, it was 25 years. Now, I have a question for you today and I want to encourage you. It's not a trick question, but verbally respond if you can. Was it God's will for Abraham to have a son? Yes. For the first 25 years, did Abraham have a son?
No.
So there was a gap between God's will and Abraham's experience. And you know, just because something hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's God's will for that to happen. So often we run into stumbling blocks and it hasn't happened in our time, in our way, in our method. So what we do is we create a theology to justify what's going on, which is actually anti what Jesus modeled to us through the Bible. And I believe that God is resurrecting a church that would take him at his word, that would believe, no, if it's in the book, I want to see it in my life, that says, you know, God, your promises are yes and amen. And though I haven't seen it, though I haven't experienced it, I'm going to still believe because it's your word to my life. You know, to help us in that gap between our verse 14 and verse 15, my challenge to you, my challenge to me is not to throw in the towel on faith, but to continue in persistence. Because Hebrews 6 verse 12 tells us, by faith and patience, they inherit what God has promised. What if the lack of healing or miracle or breakthrough in your life isn't a faith thing? What if it's a patience thing? What if your miracle is three more prayers away? What if you gave up after two online? What if maybe the reason you're watching online is because of a health issue or there's an anxiety struggle? What if that's not God's will for your life? What if just because you're experiencing it doesn't mean it's his desire for you? What if your faith and God's desire isn't the issue? What if the only issue is our willingness to persist? I believe that God wants to resurrect a persistence and a patience that though we haven't seen it, we're going to continue to believe, that we're going to continue to ask and we're going to keep on asking. We're going to continue to seek and we're going to keep on seeking. Hello, we're going to knock and we're going to keep on knocking. Why? Because everyone that asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who knocks, the door is open to them. Sometimes the issue isn't faith. Sometimes it is our persistence. Jesus illustrated it like this in Luke 18, verse number 1. Jesus told his disciples a story or a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared for what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. Verse number 6, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? See, this parable is meant to speak to us in the heart of our issue, in our gap between 14 and verse number 15, that our response isn't to capsize or throw away our faith. Our response is to continue and to remain in faith. See, the enemy wants to use your disappointment to create a passiveness, but God wants to use your disappointment to create a persistence. That when we don't see what we're believing for, we don't change our belief. We continue to believe even though we don't see. We continue to respond even though we're not here. We continue to live a life of faith until we see it happen. And that verse number 8, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? I want to ask you, if Jesus was to return right now, would he find faith in you? Or will he find a generation of people that are content in what he's already paid for? Will he find us content in not experiencing it even though he's already paid for it all? I believe that injustice that we experience when we don't get what we pay for, I believe God is wanting us to experience the fullness of what he paid for. Because every sickness, every disease, every mental health issue, every wholeness issue, it is and always will be the only solution to it, the cross of Jesus Christ. I want to invite the worship team to come join me. And I want to share a quick testimony from our youth ministry a few years ago. We had a young girl join our youth ministry and in 2015, she was diagnosed with scoliosis. And if you don't know what scoliosis is, it's a horrible, ailment where there's curvature of the spine and it can really affect your mobility. Pain is really high. So it's not a great diagnosis at all. Maybe you have scoliosis or you know someone who has it. You would know firsthand it is not an enjoyable condition at all. And you know, in 2015, she was diagnosed and she had an operation to actually fix it in 2018 over in Sydney. She went to the operation, they operated on her, meant to be all hunky-dory, and then comes back to Perth. But unfortunately, the operation did not achieve what it was intended to. In fact, her condition only got worse. And the doctors told her she needed to come back for another surgery and that she would never be able to dance again because of the surgery that she was going to have. How many of you know, as like a 14-year-old girl, that is not something that you want to hear? And we go. And in that story, what happened is she got to summer camp that year. And there was a prayer made for her. I don't know by who. I don't know what leaders did it. And I'm kind of glad that it wasn't about the leaders, because the reality is it's never about who's ministering. It's always about the one who ministers, which is Jesus Christ. Whether it comes through Pastor Ken Fletcher, whether it comes through the person next to you, whether it comes through anyone at all, the same substance is always Jesus Christ. You know, in the Bible, there's a story of a donkey speaking, and God spoke through a donkey. Do you reckon the donkey left that day going, man, I am the best donkey that has ever lived? It would have been head held high, going, yeah, I'm good. You know, praying in tongues, just like stumbling along. At the end of the day, it's still a donkey. And when you and I have God do something in our lives, as great as we might feel, we're still donkeys. We are still inadequate in our own effort. And so this young girl had two donkeys lay their hooves on her. And instantly the power of God touched her, and her back has never been better since. It is totally healed of scoliosis. And you know, maybe you're here and you're wondering, well, that's great for her, but what about me? Well, was it God's will for her to be healed? Yes. Yes, it was. Was she healed for that 3 years? No. But you know what? I'm so glad, like the persistent widow, that she did not allow her experience to determine God's will for her life. I'm so glad that, like the widow, she just knocked again. She asked again. She sought again. And because of that, at the end of that seeking, she experienced what Jesus prepaid for her. I want to speak to some people that are in that valley today, between their verse 14 and verse 15. And maybe you've thrown the towel in on your faith. Maybe you stopped believing in God for this thing. Maybe you've changed your perspective of who God is because of it. I want to challenge you today. Don't give up in the in-between. Keep on seeking, keep on believing, keep on praying, because on the other side of your persistence is what Jesus paid for. And so, with all that being said, it comes down to this one very important question. I want to encourage us all. Can we just stand to our feet across this room? My question for me as well, is simply this: what do you believe? Because you can hear a sermon about how it's all paid for in Jesus, and you might think that's great, but the reality is, until you believe it, it will not affect your life. You know, when Jesus asked them, his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and then Jesus changed his tone and said, no, who do you say that I am? See, Jesus is acutely interested in what you believe about him. He's not interested in what the church believes. He's not interested in what the world believes or what the person next to you believes. Jesus is interested in what do you believe about him. Because if you personally don't believe it was all paid for at the cross, you might rob yourself of his actual transaction happening in your life. Or when it came to, you know, when it was the scriptures and he was debating with these Pharisees, and one of the Pharisees said, you know, how do you get eternal life? And Jesus didn't say, well, you just believe in me and repent and you'll be saved. No, he said, what do the scriptures say? How do you read them? See, it is incredibly important to God what you believe about him, because your belief determines what you will experience. And I want to minister today, and I believe that God is going to resurrect faith in people's heart. I just see it's like, you know, in a boxing match where there's that towel and they throw in the towel, which shows they've had the end of the game. There's a towel on that boxing string, and I just believe that Jesus is challenging someone. No, get back into the arena of faith. Get back into the war room of prayer. It's time to believe again. It's time to go again. I believe God is resurrecting faith in this room today to see things completed all the way through to completion. Not partial, but total. It was all paid for. And if you're sitting here today and you're hearing like that Happy Meal that you ordered a double quarter pound and all you got was a Happy Meal, I want to challenge you. It's time to go back to the cross of Christ and say, Jesus, would you do it? Would you realize this in my life? Would you do this in me? In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, God. We love you so much. We love you so much, Lord Jesus. We give you our attention, we give you our focus, we give you our worship. We love you so much, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray for a few groups of people. And right now, would you just close your eyes all across this room? Thank you, God. We don't need to rush in this moment. Jesus is here. And I believe breakthrough is here. I believe at this altar, destinies are going to shift today. I believe people have walked in with ailments. You're going to leave healed today. People, there's someone in this room that I know it's generic, but I genuinely believe that you've had anxiety and it's been like for over 6 months and it's almost felt impossible to get out. I believe breakthrough is happening today for you in this room. Come on, it's time to stop believing the doctor's diagnosis and start believing that it was all paid for through the cross of Jesus Christ. There is freedom, there is victory, there is breakthrough available for anyone in this place that would desire it. Before we do that, I want to ask, you know, the question, what do you believe? Well, firstly, before I ask you, what do you believe about healing? I want to ask you, what do you believe about Jesus? Because for me, I believed in God when I was growing up. And when I was 11 years old, I was in a service like this. And the person up the front asked, hey, if you want to put your faith in Jesus that died for you and rose again, lift up your hand. And I remember I believed in God, but I didn't really believe that Jesus died and rose again for me. But when I put my personal faith and trust in Jesus, something shifted in that moment and I was born again and my life has never been the same ever since. And so my challenge is, what do you believe about God? Is He real? Because the Bible says if anyone believes in their heart and confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, they will be saved. You know, I believe Jesus is standing at the door of your heart knocking. It might feel like butterflies right now. You might feel nervous. That is Jesus knocking at your door saying, hey son, would you put your faith in me? Daughter, would you believe me? Well, according to your faith, so be it unto you. So I want to ask all across this place, if there's anyone, you're saying, yeah, I want to open up the door of my heart and invite Jesus to be the Lord of my life. With every eye closed and every head bowed, all across this place, I want to see your hand lifted up on the count of three. One, two, three. Just lift it nice and high and I'll see it and you pop it straight back down. Anyone opening your heart saying, yeah, I want to invite Jesus to be the Lord of my life today. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just looking from the left to the right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, would you touch people in this place? Would you move in this place? We love you, God. We love you. Just a few more moments. We're not going to labor this moment too long, but if that's you, lift your hand nice and high. I'll see it. You pop it straight back down. You would know your heart's racing right now. Come on, don't wait till next Sunday. Don't wait another week. This is the day of salvation for your life. Slip it up nice and high. I'll see it. You pop it straight back down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. If you're watching online today and you're saying, yeah, that's me, I want to respond, you can head to nationschurch.com/my decision right after the service. Enter your details there because one of our prayer team would love to get connected with you and speak to you about that decision. But church, we're just going to say a prayer for anyone online that's responding or anyone in this room. Can we just repeat these words after me? Say, dear Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross. I thank you that you rose again. Right now, I ask, come into my life. Be my best friend. Be my savior. I want to live for you, both now and always. I love you, God. Amen. Come on, can we just give a clap for anyone that might have said that through the stream? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Make sure right after the service you head to nationschurch.com/my decision.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.